The snowpack reports come in just after the end of the month, and so last week we got our latest snapshot of snow levels around the region, and it's a pretty picture, at least so far. Oregon is generally above what's considered normal for snowpack for this point in the year, but just as one storm doth not a winter make, good snowpack is good, yes, but not necessarily a predictor of future results. So let's get a sense of what the current situation tells us about the rest of the season and the climate in general. Kathy Dello joins us on the Exchange once again. She's the Associate Director of the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute at Oregon State University. Kathy, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what goes on at the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute, as if the name were not self-indicative enough.
Well, we do climate research, and that's climate change, but also current climate. So what's going on now with El Nino, what's going on with the snowpack. But what we do is research that connects with actual decision makers or real people who have to factor climate into their lives.
In a sense of like figuring out where to put things and how to get ready for conditions that are going to continue to exist?
A lot of state agencies, federal agencies, resource managers, really anybody is our customer.
Mm-hmm. So just in terms of snowpack, I mean, how much better? I know this is not the office that does the collection of the information, but I'm sure you get a look at it. And so I'm just curious to know what the general thought is about what we're seeing of snowpack around the region this year.
Yeah, I look at it all the time. We're doing fantastic. It's light and day different from last year. We have great snow in the mountains, and it's really encouraging for this summer.
Encouraging enough to think that we might actually be able to take off the drought designation, or is it a little too soon for that here in the middle of February?
It's a little too soon, but we're starting to see some melt-out, and we're starting to see some reservoir forecasts, and we think that they're looking good. Last year, we had a lot of trouble because we didn't have the snow in the mountains, so starting off with this great snowpack going into our warm season, it's definitely going to be better than last summer.
You know, before I was going to ask a question about the weather versus climate, but I think maybe now we ought to step back even further and get a bit of a definition there. I mean, particularly where people might read the weather as indicative of climate. What are some of the caveats that need to be employed there?
Well, weather is the here and now. It's the short term. So you went through the weather forecast and you talked about rain happening today or tomorrow. That's weather. Climate is longer term. It's over a longer period, and it's usually over a bigger area. So when we're talking about something like the climate of Oregon, we're talking about many years of data and many different factors. When we're talking about a weather forecast, it's usually at one place at one time.
I know just a couple of days ago I was reading off the most recent climate sheet for Medford, which indicated that Monday's high temperature of 79 set a record for the date. But, I mean, when you think about normals, which was, I guess the normal for the date was 53 degrees, are the normals coming a little more unglued as the climate does change? I mean, it seems like I certainly feel a little less confidence talking about, well, this is what's normal for this time of year, given that normal seems to be a lot more ping-pongy than it used to be.
Yeah, we're talking about a new normal, but it's important to remember, like you said, that one event does not prove or disprove climate change. So it was warm here for the past few days, and it will be warm through the weekend, but we talked about the East Coast as well, which is going to be very, very cold. And neither of those things points to longer-term trends in climate, but we were really warm for the past few days because we were under very high pressure, which we saw a lot of for the past 2 years.
Oh, I remember hearing about the ridiculously resilient ridge of high pressure. So that's the thing. Are we getting things that do affect our weather that didn't used to happen, or at least didn't used to happen as long or as profoundly?
Yeah, the two biggest things are the ridge, which you talked about, and this last ridge we saw wasn't resilient at all. It's on its way out. But the blob at this area of warm water off our coast was certainly unprecedented, and it kept our temperatures warm for about 2 years. It's dissipating, but it's something we haven't seen before of that magnitude.
I know when you look at the maps that show relative ocean temperatures that the blob looks big and red and angry, but these are the colors we choose for the map. I mean, how much warmer was the blob than what, here again we go with the word normal, what the ocean would normally be in those areas?
It was quite a bit warmer. We saw different species, warm water species, come up into Oregon, and the difference between the map this year and in other years is that we also had an El Nino. So if you look to the equator, you saw this big swath of warmer than normal sea surface temperature. So really, the whole North Pacific was warm for the past year.
Kathy Dello is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the Associate Director of the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute based at Oregon State University. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about what's happening this year and how that compares to a historical idea of climate for the region. 800-838-3760 around the region by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned the blob and then you mentioned El Nino, and that was one of the questions I had was when people hear about the ocean getting warmer, they're going to hear about those two things going on. They're not the same. How do they differ?
They differ, one, in their location. So El Nino is a much bigger phenomenon, and it really impacts the entire globe. So we came off our warmest year globally on record, and that was in part due to El Nino and in part due to climate change. But the blob was much more local. It was something that was really only impacting the West Coast, whereas El Nino impacts the entire world. The two of them together joined forces to make for a very warm year last year.
And that's a warm year for the ocean water, and therefore anything near the ocean, any land masses are going to get the same effect?
Yeah, it kept us quite warm. If you remember last winter, flowers were blooming in January.
Kathy, when we think about, and you gave us the distinction again between weather and climate, but is there usually a trend in any climate that makes for smoother transitions? I mean, usually are there somewhat gradual changes in the weather shown in a climate from year to year, or can it be like you get no snowpack one winter and blam, you know, 150% the next winter?
Yeah, it's just like that. So if you think about it like a baseball player, weather is their at-bat. They could hit a home run, but climate's more of their batting average.
That's a good way to look at it. So essentially from one year to the next, it's like, you know, he could be in a hot streak this year and not next year.
Yeah, and we're looking at overall trends. So last year when we didn't have any snow in the mountains, we kept saying, we know that the snow is not going away completely. What we're worried about is that low elevation, that warmer area of snow. And we're also looking at when this year's snow will melt out. It's already starting to. We'd like to keep it up in the mountains as long as we can so it can melt out through the summer, but it might start melting out earlier this year since it's been a bit warmer.
For that matter, was it a little fluky that that what fell as snow? I understand that I think the projections were for things to be just a little bit warmer, which would have made these things fall as rain.
Yeah, so we were a little bit warmer. We were lucky. We got a lot of storms, and when they came in, they were cold, although they didn't start off that way in November. But it's a matter of just, yeah, we were at the right place at the right time.
So it fell as snow, and so we got that. So with the snowpack, I noticed the water content is well above normal as well. That I mean, would we... assuming that it didn't melt, which apparently is a very broad assumption of what you've already said, that we'd be okay with snowpack if we got no more snow beyond this point?
Yeah, we would be fine. What we're looking at now, if this is what we have, I think we would be great. There are some distinctions around the state. There are areas that have been in drought for more than 1 or 2 years, especially eastern Oregon, and some of their biggest storage reservoirs are close to empty, so it's going to take more than one big year to get them back to normal.
I am surprised as I look at the rates at which some of these reservoirs can fill up, though, and I know it's a bit out of your zone, but we get down into well into California and was noticing that Shasta Lake had gone up about 50 feet in the course of 30 days, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Up here we have Detroit Lake, which was super low this year. It was remarkable when you drove by it, and it's filling up fast.
All right, let's take some calls. We have Rick in Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Kathy Dello from the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute.
Hi, Kathy. You mentioned that that the blob was a good deal warmer than expected, or warmer than normal, and the North Pacific in general was warmer than normal this past year, but you didn't give any degree measurement. How much warmer? Could you mention that?
I don't have it off the top of my head. This is...
Okay, well, do you have any memory of whether it was likely to have been like 1.5 degrees or 5 degrees? Something larger or something smaller?
In terms of Celsius, it was probably closer to 5.
5 degrees Celsius, which is, that's pretty impressive in Fahrenheit, isn't that like somewhere around 7 to 8?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Not at your fingertips.
Warmer.
Okay, much warmer is the point, all right. And so the effect then is that essentially the whole ecology of that portion of the ocean shifts a bit, doesn't it? I mean, you get different creatures hanging out in that kind of water?
You do. There were some reports of that.
All right, let's take another call. We have Ann in Eugene on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Kathy Dello.
Thank you. So my question is, how do you convince Republicans that climate change is happening and that humans are causing it when they're being paid by billionaires not to believe that? Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate that. Well, there's a there's a question for the day.
So what we like to, we're just pointing to the science and the evidence that shows that the Earth is warming. So if we look at last year globally, not just at one place on the globe, it was warm across almost the entire globe. And when you averaged it, we beat the last warmest year on record by a lot. So a lot of people have been talking about, well, this is maybe just El Nino, and no, we're warming in every phase. So, I mean, the science is sound. We know that humans are causing this, and we can look at a bunch of different indicators.
When you say you're sure it's not El Nino, what's the evidence that supports that?
So if you look at global temperature anomalies for every year, and you look at if it's an El Nino, which is warmer, La Nina, which is cooler, or neutral, which is between the two, there's an upward trend in all of that. So the last big El Nino was 97-98, and we beat that as well. So El Nino helped climate change put the cherry on top.
All right. The you know, one of the things I noticed, too, in discussions about and disagreements with what science appears to be quite accepting of, which is that the planet is getting warmer, is this discussion, particularly by some presidential candidates, about satellite indications of surface temperatures. Any reason why satellites would be more reliable than just sticking a thermometer out the window?
No, there. We've had a satellite record since 1979, and satellites measure different parts of the atmosphere. Thermometers measure temperature where we live on the surface. We know the surface is warming.
All right. So come back to our region when we talk about the fact that we've got abundant snowpack this year for the first time in several years. If there is a big period of rain, do we have some significant potential for flooding given what's up there?
We do. So that is one of the things that we're looking at, and it seems like you're either alternating between droughts and floods these days. But if you think back to 1996, there was quite a bit of snow in the mountains, and a few big storms came in that were very warm. So there was a lot of flooding in February of 96. So there are very smart people looking at that and putting out those forecasts.
And I noticed that it doesn't seem like, I mean, it seemed like January and February in particular are very different, at least in Western Oregon, where February seemed like we had, or January seemed like we had storm after storm after storm. February thus far appears to be a whole lot lighter in delivering anything like precipitation.
Yeah, we've dried out a bit, and this looks a bit more like El Nino. El Nino tends to mean warmer and drier, although in your part of the state it's a little bit less certain, but we have been warmer, and we have dried out a bit. But December and January were so, so wet that it almost anything seems better.
All right. We're talking again to Kathy Dello, who's the Associate Director at the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute. And Kathy, coming back to a larger context now, and to dovetail a bit with what Ann asked about convincing Republicans, because those are the people who do things like show up on the floor of Congress with snowballs in hand. Does one blizzard that we might not have had last year or any single event really give any indication of what's going on with climate more broadly?
Well, first, I don't like to point at parties because we're all in this together. And if you look at the world, there's general agreement that humans are causing climate. But no, there's a new area of science called event attribution, and it's really the hot new area in climate science where you're able to go in and see how much greenhouse gases may have contributed to one storm or one event. And it happens on a scale, this takes months to do. So when a storm happens and you see in the news that someone says, well, climate change made this more likely, possibly, but we're able to now figure that out. So I think you'll be seeing more of that over the next few years.
So when we talk about event attribution, this is the kind of science that says, you know, this hurricane was X amount stronger because of climate change?
Yeah, or X amount more likely because of these greenhouse gas concentrations.
Mm-hmm. When's the period at which we began to measure, or I mean, has it been a, I'm trying to figure out when warming can be pointed to as having started.
Well, so we've looked at paleoclimate records, so we can go way back in time. But the instrumental record isn't as long, so we start in 1895. When you see the warming accelerate is in the 1970s.
And has it gone pretty steadily since then, or is it a bit of an uptick in the actual increase in temperature?
Well, temperature increase isn't linear. So 2016, it could be warmer than 2015 with this El Nino still in place, but it doesn't necessarily mean it will be. So there are ups and downs. We've had cool years or cooler years than the year before, but the general trend is up.
So from where we are now to where we're going, particularly in Oregon, which is where you're based, I mean, what are some of the things that you see continuing or maybe some new events that we might expect to see that we traditionally have not seen?
I think the three things that we need to be looking at are our water supply and our snowpack, and we got a glimpse of what our future might look like last year. Our forests, they're vulnerable under a warming climate due to fire, insects, pests, and diseases. And our coastline, sea level rise, erosion, more storms, bigger storms.
Okay, so obviously casual observers need to take care not to read too much into any one event.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you propose? What should we do? What's a good way to look at this, Kathy? Just give us a general sense.
A good way to look at this, if you want something optimistic, is that we're in a good place for thinking about these things. The state's taking this seriously. A lot of energetic people, a lot of smart people are looking at this issue. And the Pacific Northwest is maybe better positioned for climate change than somewhere like a small Pacific island. The Paris Agreement now 2 months ago is encouraging that the world has signed on to limit our emissions and start to tackle this problem. So I think there's still room for hope. I think we can still fix this.
Okay. Kathy Dell is the Associate Director of the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute. Thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.